Okay, Erev Tov, everybody. Parshas Chayesara, let's get right to it. So we finished off last week strong. Famous mice in the Torah, the Akedah. So we're right now standing post Akedah, and we all know how this week's Parsha starts. It starts with the passing of Sari Menu. The pasuk says, "Vayuchayes Sarab, Me'as Shana ve'Sirim Shana ve'Sheva Shanim Shnei Chayes Sarab." This was the life of Sari Menu. 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So we know, obviously, that's a very redundant, an unnecessary statement. The opening pasuk, so many extra words. Whether you want to break down the 100, the 20, the 7, but I want to focus on something else. I want to focus on the beginning and the end of the pasuk. The fact that it said again, it started the pasuk v'yuchayei Sarah, the years, and then shnei chayei Sarah. Obvious question: why do you have to tell me again? Shnei chayei Sarah. I obviously know that was the life of Sarah, and she lasted 127 years in this world. So Rashi famously explains right there in the first pasuk of the parsha, Shnei chayei Sarah. Zok Rashi, Kulon shavin l'tova. They were all equivalent. They were all full. All the years of Sarah were filled with good. And good only, and they were all equivalent. So, on that, this is what we want to focus on. Rashi says, "Kulon shavin tova." It was all good. Obvious question. You think Sarah had a good life? How much have we learned so far about Sarah? Sarah, for the average Torah reader, Sarah had a terrible life. Just a couple of examples to go through. Number one. She didn't have any children. She was an Akara up until the age of 90. Number two, she was kidnapped. Not once, but twice. Two times she was kidnapped by kings. Number three, she couldn't have children for a long time. Avram decides to take for himself another wife, Hagar, who was a maidservant or whatever, but she was obviously she wasn't the primary wife, she was a secondary wife, and she was obviously embarrassed that she was able to bear children before Sarah herself. And number four, we know about Sarah's tragic death. We know the famous Mahalach from our Moras in third grade. People think it's, you know, the Mahalach comes straight from the Moras, but really it's a Mefurash HaMedrash Tanchuma that we know that she saw from afar on the mountain of HaMoria. She heard what was happening. She saw from afar, and it was just so shocking because she really thought that Avram ended up actually killing Yitzchak and bringing him as a korban. So we want to try to clarify the fact that Rashi says that there was 127 equivalent years of all good. It was great, but yet these are clear riots in which the people would not call this a geschmack life. So to answer this, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirschberg explains as follows: is that the truth is it wasn't so. The truth is we know that there were hardships. But she made it good. But the question is how. I'm not gonna say, we should always look at the positive. That's a very superficial answer. He brings it down very, very practical, very, very practically, very fundamentally. Very, very, very fundamental answer he brings down. He explains that she was constantly trying to serve Hashem, and that's what means kulon shavim tova. All those years had the same amount of full fledged avodas Hashem. She was trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what the challenges were in her life. And ultimately, her involvement in Avodas Hashem, that was the actual thing that brought out all the good in her life. People, even though it appeared that, again, the things that she went through was difficult, but overall, the desire to serve Hashem ultimately enhanced the quality of her life. So that's something also that in terms of we can work on. Right? We say Brich Shmei before we take out the Torah. Anna Avda the Kud Shabrichu. Please God, I want to be called an Eved Hashem. But the question is when you say that, why in the world are we saying that? Why do we want to become Ovdei Hashem? And he's an Eved Hashem. Pashup Shah is what?
It's a very stark term.
It's stark to say, yeah, I'm an Eved Hashem, but somebody like dances with all their might on Avdut Kusha Brichu, yeah, I want to be stark. I want to be a strong learner, a great masmid. I want to become close to Kodesh Baruch. I want to be an Eved Hashem. You know, I want to show everyone, you know, you're all Jews, but you know what? I'm an Eved Hashem. But what we need to focus on is that it's not what it's about. It's not a stark thing to want to become an Eved Hashem. Being an Eved Hashem, working on Avodas Hashem, ultimately enhances the quality of our life, day in and day out. Whether things are just like Sari made it, when things weren't necessarily going so well, okay, how did she want to enhance her quality of life? Through Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem she used as some type of mechanism in order to ultimately bring out the best in her life. And that's something that's very, very important for guys in the yeshiva to actually focus on. Because there'll be a lot of difficulties. Whether it be a difficulty in a rajba, or whether you get it, whether you're dealing with a difficult situation on the phone late at night. Ultimately, you know, everyone goes through challenges, everyone goes through trials and tribulations, but ultimately it's the Avodas Hashem. Being Eved Hashem is very, very important, but ultimately people think, oh, that again, it's purely Torah oriented. Avodas Hashem itself brings a person to have a much more enjoyable lifestyle. Because when a person's thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu controls the world, ultimately it's just so much more pleasant. That's also, but the issue is again figuring out, you know, what is our Avodas Hashem? What, how can I be the best Eved Hashem? Because again, we all want to be Ovid Hashem. That's very general. But when you know, in the Eretz Yisrael, in the Hebrew, they say Tachlis. They want to pinpoint me. Tell me, what do I got to do in order to be an Eved Hashem? And again, ultimately, being an Eved Hashem will ultimately enhance right the quality of our lives. That's what I'm saying. So what am I supposed to do? So it's very unclear. The answer is very different depending on every single person. Every single person has to figure out. Every single person has different types of different forms of Avodas Hashem. Every single person connects to different things, but that's ultimately very important. And one of the common misconceptions, which I feel in terms of which I've seen over the years, is ultimately defining what is considered Avodas Hashem. And now people think Avodas Hashem just means especially in yeshiva, because this is because for the main thing which a person does every day in yeshiva is he's mainly involved in Talmud Torah. So people think classic Avodas Hashem is Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah. Oh, so if I'm not learning, I'm not being an Avodas Hashem. If I'm not being mekayim a certain mitzvah with 120% kavana, I'm not being an Eved Hashem. The answer is wrong. Avodas Hashem occurs every moment of the day. Rav Yaamar Rav Shiva likes to say that a person's supposed, I don't know if you guys heard this, he says this a lot in the Shmuzin, may have heard this, maybe we'll definitely say at least at some point this year, a person's supposed to live a circle, a life in terms of a circle, not a line. Because a circle, and then you live a life of a circle, and there's something in the middle. You put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle. And what's the Chiddush about a circle? The way I've learned like math and all those other things were years ago, but the pshat in the circle is that no matter where you are in the circle, your relationship, the distance, you're always equidistant to the center of the circle, no matter where you are. And the question is, right? Yeah, that's how we can apply that by you know, in terms of ourselves also. Kodesh Baruch Hu's in the middle. All of our agendas are surrounding a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We got to figure out what is it that belongs in our circle. What is it that, you know, is related to, what is it that is related to Kodesh Baruch Hu? You know, because it could be equidistant. It could be a form of Avodas Hashem is what? Chazaring Bekiyas at night. And it could be another form of Avodas Hashem on the same level is, let's say, going for a run during the break to gain some exercise. Or it could be eating a very good dinner. In terms of, again, in order for us to become close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and in order to, again, ultimately, like I said, enhance the quality of, you know, our life day in and day out, whether it be inside the Beis Medrash, outside the Beis Medrash, within the yeshiva grounds, even when you go outside of yeshiva. So that ultimately is a very, very important yesod about living a life in terms of a circle where everything is equidistant, as opposed to, let's say, living a life based on a line where you don't have, you know, where you might have something in the middle, but again, depending where you are on the line, you might not necessarily be exactly connected to, you know, the center point on the line. So I'm kind of idea number one. Idea number two. Later on in the parsha, towards the end, I think this is the first time in which shidduchah arises in the Torah, right? So people love to be osik in it during the year, whether it be actually shidduchim or whether it be about the hak about shidduchim. I think that's even more of a thing to be osik in, but we see this happening. The pasuk in Perek of Dalet, the end of the Perek, the end of Chamishi says by pasuk Samach Zayin, Vayvia Yitzchak Heolel, Sara Imo, Vaykachas Rivka Bati Lo Lisha Vayavel, Vayinachem Yitzchak Achrei Mo. Yitzchak brought her into the tent, brought her into Sara's tent. He took Rivka as a wife, and he loved her, and that's exactly what happened. And Unkelus, he uses the lashon of he was trying to check out her different types of hanhagas. He was trying to compare the different hanhagas of Sara and Rivka, and those hanhagas that we obviously know about, is that he was checking out her midos. He wanted to put her to the test in terms of regarding what's figuring out, you know, is she really the one or not. So that was the test in terms of, you know, was Rivka a suitable candidate for to be the wife of Yitzchak, dependent on her midos. The pasuk before, though, is recounts the maisa in which Eliezer had with Rivka, and he reports back to Yitzchak before. That whole encountering Yitzchak and Rivka had. He said, "Vayisapera eved liYitzchak es kol adrim asher asah." Eliezer the Eved told Yitzchak everything that happened, in terms of the fact that he was trying to find her, find him a wife, and with a miracle back and forth, as Rashi explains. Rashi on the spot says that what did he say? That he davened and he prayed, and all these nisim and niflos happened, for all these opportunities for Rivka to somehow appear out of nowhere. So, and the fact that we had all these nisim and niflos, it was for sure, it was a home run. It was a home run shidduch. Nisim and niflos from Shemayim, the fact that he davened, all of a sudden she appeared out of nowhere with the jugs and the camels and showing off how big of a tzaddik she is. So the question is then, so the puzzle before in Tzamach Gimel, we said, okay, it seemed like it was a done deal, right? Well, nisim and niflos, the whole story. Let's close the deal already. Take a picture, post on Simcha Spot, and that's it. So why did he have to? Why did Yitzchak have to go again? Why do you have to, you know, almost double check to sort of, you know, the midos, the tent, how she related, that she's like Sarah, not like Sarah? So what exactly is shot there? So the Beis Halevi explains this, and this is a famous yesod in which many achronim nowadays and many poskim and modern Rosh Yeshivas like to say, in terms of the shidduch world, that based on the Torah, any shidduch according to the Torah is primarily based on midos. Midos is very important, and we see and we know this. Again, in addition to the old nisim and niflos, we obviously know that Eliezer, obviously that was also a test. Eliezer also witnessed midos from Rivka. By the well, found her out, saw her. He was thirsty. She ended up giving him to drink. She ended up also filling up jugs for Eliezer's camels to drink. And she also conveyed that she possessed great quality character traits of midos. And in addition to this, is that Revolvi also adds, Revolvi the great mashgiach. What does he say? That again, we see many, many nisim and niflos that happen throughout time. But the ikur is that what? Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. We've seen Klal Yisrael, we've prospered day in and day out. And there's many, we have ups, downs, a lot of times HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim and niflos, but again, based on what we say in Pirkei Avos, Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. Before anything else, a person's got to know how to act. And then that's exactly what the Avos, every time they were also looking, again, to a part of building Klal Yisrael, they were looking for Midos. Why? Because Derech Eretz, that itself is one of the primary foundations, one of the primary Yesodos, in terms of how us as a nation, how the way in which we've ultimately built ourselves up into being such a great nation was primarily based on Midos. So obviously, it makes sense the fact that when the Avos years ago when they were literally doing this whole startup nation thing, that they were actually trying to find, they were looking for Midos. So now for us again, this isn't like a dating schmooze. I know people were thinking that was where it was going. You guys have a little more time. But it's important to note that in the world of Shidduchim, people speak about Midos. But they always speak about it in terms of the girl. Oh, does she have Midos? She has Midos. What about the guys? Like, it's like, if he learns a little bit, maybe, has Parnasa, he'll be fine. He has to just either have money or be a Talmid Chacham. She needs to have Midos and that's it. It's obviously not true. Every single person, even guys, it's very important for guys to have Midos. It's important for guys to work on their Midos. It's important for guys to show their Midos. Especially guys in yeshiva. Guys in yeshiva have a tremendous chip on their shoulder. There's people outside yeshiva, whether it be people that actually know us personally or people that are just, generally observing the quote-unquote yeshiva world of yeshiva bachrim, we have a certain chip on our shoulder. We sit and we learn. We learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. We learn all the halachos. We learn mitzvah. We learn about mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveira. We learn about vakama. Learning nezikin. So, all of a sudden, when guys leave yeshiva, they go somewhere for Shabbos. They go somewhere. They go home. They go home for a week. They go home for bein. They're away from bein hazmanim. We're being judged, much on a much higher level. Oh, does he have midos? How does he act? If he doesn't act properly, why in the world is he learning Torah? The Torah that if a person doesn't have proper midos, the Torah that he learns, that has very, very little value. These aren't chidushim. These are just based on Chazal. Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. Before a person can even try to get involved in the sugya, a person has to know how to act like a human being. And again, that's the more global thing. People think, oh, midos. So how do I work on my midos? Do I just pound all of my midos every day, morning seder, night seder, afternoon seder, musr seder, whatever you want to say. It's a great sefer, you should know. The truth is, most people that have all of the midos and they learn it are the people that don't even are the people that don't even need that musr. Those people generally have midos. But it's very, very important. Practical ideas, guys learn very, very stark. I see guys here, they stay very late to be smedrish, but they come back at night. The roommates are sleeping. Sensitivity is that's such a classic way in terms of, trying to test yourself. Do you have good midos or not? If you're too, you come off chazaring three times today's Amud of Bikias. You just come in your room. You turn on the lights. You're on the phone. You're making a bunch of noise, and it's like where exactly are the midos? Almost on an out Shabbos. You end up eating out by someone. You're supposed to offer to help. You're supposed to be nice on an out Shabbos. Being nice to your hosts. And these are pretty much just basic ideas which just are important to keep in mind. That again, ideally, as we grow in our Bein Adam L'Makom, day in and day out, sugya after sugya, amud after amud of bikiyas. Also, there should be some type of correlation with our growth in midos, our sensitivity to other human beings, whether it be our best friends or whether it be people that we're not necessarily quote unquote boys with. So, I've got idea number two. And the final idea tonight, idea number three. A little we're still within Perek Chaf Dalet, but a couple psukim before. couple psukim before, Chaf Dalet Lamites. Va'omar El Adoni, Ulai Lo Telecha Yishacharai. So Eliezer responds to Avram. Avram sends Eliezer out on the Shlichus. Find, I have a son. He's right now 30, he's in his high 30s, so he's been in the quote-unquote freezer for probably a couple decades. So, you know, he's ready, let's just say. So exactly. So what does he say? But Eliezer responds, you know what? I don't understand. Let's end up finding a girl. Maybe. Ulai, she's not going to come. She's not going to be interested. It's important to note out. I don't know if you have Chumash on you, but if not, you can take a look after. The way Ulai is spelled, Ulai means Ulai in regular Hebrew means maybe. Ulai here is spelled Aleph, Lamed, Yud. Generally, when you spell the word Ulai, it's Aleph, Vav, Lamed, Yud. So what's the pshat? We're lacking a Vav here. So the pshat is as follows. If there were no nekudos, the word Aleph, Lamed, Yud is referring to the word Eli, me, Eliezer speaking. And the pshat is that what? This is coming to reveal Eliezer's personal hope. He knew, he grew up in Avram's house, he worked for him. He knew who Yitzchak was. Yitzchak was 100% of Kedusha. And when he asked that question, you know what, maybe she won't come back. Maybe she won't come back. He wasn't asking that in a logical sense. He was actually hoping for that. That was his motive. He was hoping that she wasn't going to come back. Why? Because Eliezer himself had daughters. Eliezer also was looking for a shidduch for his own daughter. He wanted Yitzchak to marry his daughter. So that's exactly what's going on. And what happens? Says Rashi. What does Rashi respond? Amar Le Avram. Again, this is just reading between the lines. This is how we know this is so pshat with the word with the fact that Ulai is spelled like that, because we know that Eliezer was focused on his own daughters. Amar Le Avram, Bini Baruch V'ata Arur. If it ain't Arur, midabek b'baruch. My son is blessed. He's part of the chosen nation, the Am HaNivchar. He's one gavra full of kedusha. He was literally a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you, again, you're great. I appreciate you serving me. But you come from you're a Kenani. Your daughter, you guys aren't part of us. You guys are the cursed goyim. We are the blessed. We're the blessed nation, and ultimately that shidduch just not going to happen. So the question is also, this type of incident actually occurred earlier in the parak in pasuk hey in parak of dalet. Vayomer elav again ha'eved ulai lo sova isha lechas achray el aretz azos. Maybe she won't come back. She won't desire to come back. But if you look closely at Pasuk Hey, you guys will look after, that Ulai spelled with the Vav. That's a real maybe. That represents, you know, genuine sincerity. That Eliezer was really concerned. I get it, Avram. I'll do the Shlichus. But let's say I don't complete my Shlichus. Let's say it doesn't work out in the end. Let's say it happens to be a good match, but she doesn't want to come back. So the Kotzke Rebbe, Menachem Mendel, explains that at that point, what was going on? That Ulai had a Vav. That was a real maybe. He was really concerned. He asked a logical question. However, later on in Pasuk Lamites, he finally realized that subconsciously, even back then, when he asked it in Pasuk Hey, the entire thing, he finally understood what his real motives were. He understood that his motives was what? That his trip, his journey to Haran to try to find Yitzchak a wife, he was hoping for failures. He was hoping that there would be something that would go wrong. So in order for what? In order that ultimately Yitzchak should marry his daughter. It's ultimately about focusing in terms of what a person's motives are. person's, you know, what a person's motives are. So we know who better to say this than the Kutzker Rebbe. Kutzker Rebbe, I'll read you a famous quote that he likes to say. It's all in Kutzk. They're very into the fact. They strive. They're very into one character trait, emes, being not dafka honest, but being real. Being real and being sincere, being genuine to others, and kol shekin being honest with to yourself. He said as follows: if I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you, then I am I and you are you. But if I am I because you are you, and you are you because I am I, then I am not I and you are not you. Every person's got to be for themselves. Every person, you know, has to be honest with themselves. A person wants to grow because they want to grow, not because he's growing. And that other guy should be growing. Why? Because he wants to grow, not because the other guy, not because you yourself are growing. And this is very important. This yisod is very important moving forward. At the fact, right again, that Limafrey, he finally realized what his real motives were. Person wants to grow in yeshiva. I also feel the number one character trait in which a person can have, in order if a person wants to go from good to great in yeshiva, is honesty. Not the fact that he has to just tell the truth to everyone. A person has to be honest with themselves. Because there's no one in the world that knows you better than yourself. You could get so much advice from meshivim, madrichim, rabbeim, rosh yeshiva, mashgichim, but ultimately they'll know you. They'll get to know you over the years. And you guys, hopefully you'll all develop strong charm with all your rabbeim. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know yourself the best, and you know how much are you growing. You know what exactly do you need to do? What exactly are your potentials? What exactly are your capabilities? What are your limits? And ultimately, not everyone other people don't know that about you. So in terms of when a person wants to, starts, almost like get for real, that's when, he's that in another way, he's saying, okay, I want to grow. Once he's for real, being honest with yourself, ultimately, is the pathway that leads to growth. Because when you're honest with yourself, you really know. How much are you chopping in the sugya? How much chazar do you really need for the bekiyas? What areas of avodas Hashem do I need to work on? Are there different ideas in Musar which I need to focus on more? Are there different parts in the Torah which I'm not so familiar with, which are important for me to learn, which will help me become an all around Ben Torah? Are there certain midos in which people might think which I have, but I'm genuinely lacking, which I need to work on? These are ultimately the things in which we need to be thinking about in terms of moving forward, in terms of trying to grow. But ultimately to grow, it has to be on a way in which it's coming from a sincere and a genuine place in our hearts. So that's the bracha that I give to all of you is that we should ultimately come to that realization that we're here. We're here for real. And when we're here for real, we're ultimately here to grow. Bez Hashem. Yashar Koach. Have a great night.